Hello and welcome to the ninth Manx Footy Pod of the 2019-20 season. Today, myself and Dave.
Hi, everyone.
Are joined by Union Mills duo Stephen Fox and Sam Kane. Welcome, guys, to Podcast Towers. Foxy, thanks for coming back in. We obviously didn't put you off last time.
No, we loved it.
Sam, we've finally got you. This is the 99th episode. We've been trying, Dave, haven't we?
We have, yeah. We cornered him a few years ago and he still said no.
We've got a list, haven't we?
Yeah.
We see a list of people that we want for the podcast. And Sam's name has been floating around near the bottom of that for a while now.
Been cornered in a couple of places.
Yeah.
Usually when Dave's had a couple of pints.
Yeah.
Gets a bit handsy. But yeah, thanks for coming in. Obviously, we've got you in to discuss the Millers and the promotion race in Europe's best league, JCK Division 2. It still has that mantle, Dave, doesn't it?
Oh, it's absolutely. You just look at what's happened already this season. It's living up to its billing, isn't it?
Yeah, we talk about the English Premier League. It's getting a bit boring now, isn't it? Obviously, after Liverpool won at the weekend, you might as well give them the trophy now, haven't we, Dave?
No, don't say that. I'm a Liverpool fan, but I'm not getting carried away.
Well, so we should also apologise. We've had 2 weeks off. It's my fault.
Well, kind of your fault, yeah.
Hector Dalrymple came into the world a couple of weeks ago, so I've had paternity leave. I apologise now. I'm on about 5 hours sleep a night at the moment because he doesn't like sleeping at night.
Have you told Hector Bellerin that he's named after him?
Hector Bellerin, after the Arsenal fullback.
Yeah. Yeah. Foxy will love that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's got his same style. Some of the baby grows he's been wearing are very cutting edge, you know. But before we talk about the football, biscuits as always, we've been inundated. Dave, you went and got the biscuits today, and these look amazing. So go on, you tell them what they are.
We've got some Twix soft centres. They are biscuits with an irresistibly soft centre.
Well, dish them out. We've got to see if they match that claim.
It's a big bowl, isn't it?
And the lads have also brought in some digestive dark chocolate, which was a winner. And yeah, Sam, you brought the Les Cabres finger resin.
Always a winner.
Got a classic biscuit. Yeah. Biscuit inside, chocolate on top. What more could you want?
Exactly. Life is complete.
What do you think about these?
I actually like them. They're impressive.
Yeah. More like you.
Alright.
A cookie with a caramel in the middle. No. I'm in for cookies.
That sounds harsh, it's a taste of a stale.
Oh. I'll blame the shop then, it's the garage across the road.
I'll double check the best
it
before.
It could be just the way they're meant to be, but
I wouldn't put it past Dave, to be honest, Foxy, but it's 15/2/22 it says on there.
Alright, so we've got plenty of time then.
20.
Yeah.
Alright, it tastes nice. Yeah,
anyway.
So.
I'd give them a solid 7.5.
You didn't sound convinced when you were first eating that.
Well, it's grown on me. It's a bit like when I had
2 bites, that's good.
What was it, the Jammy Dodger I had last year for the first time? They grew on me as well.
The raspberry ones.
They're very nice. But yeah, so they're available in most and some bad shops around the island at the moment. We're not here just to discuss biscuits. We're obviously here to discuss football. Foxy, top of the standings with 6 wins from 7. It seems like things have gone to plan so far.
Yeah, I suppose it has. Disappointed with the first game of the season. I mean, St John did well, but I think we were disappointed with our own performance, especially after pre-season. Maybe that had something to do with a bit of arrogance, but you know, St John's are the better team today, you can't take that away. They're a good team, they got experience, but since then I think we've grown and grown. I think the Colby game was a turning point. You know, formation wise, you know, we struggled for the first 10 minutes, so we sort ourselves out, and we've seen lads seem to pick us up a lot in training. Sam's been a big help with his coaching, he's getting what's in my head and put it on the training pitch.
Wow.
But I mean, I can see it take it so far, but no, he's implementing it in training sessions and it's helping massively. And the lads are improving each week. Ball attention is better, performances are better. You know, we want the league. We do want it. I'm going to be not here to just get promotion. Nobody remembers promoting teams. We remember teams that win trophies. Doesn't matter. You know, that's what we're all here for. I want the style, I want to play football. So.
Sam was one of a couple of lads you brought in the summer. Yeah, is it taking time for them to gel back in with the squad, or is it just one of those things?
I don't think it has. I think they're all ex-Millers. They all know the lads, you know, surrounding stuff. I think maybe a couple of them left a few last few years. Maybe they weren't happy for whatever reason, but they seem to be happy now and they're enjoying themselves and they're all buying into it. You know, when they've come, I've said, no one's guaranteed a spot. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what your name is. You earn it like everyone else. You go on holiday, you might lose your place. And we're in a good position where we can do that now. We've got Phil, Jordan coming, Boothie coming, we've got Kyle Yu, and we've got Matty Kane, Sam, you know, before he got injured. But it's a good... everyone's happy, everyone's enjoying themselves, they're buying into what
and
they want to do.
The proof's in there as well. Like, we had 28 at training last night, which is incredible numbers, which is amazing.
For November.
For November, yeah. Windy Birmingham.
It's 24 on Monday. We're getting the numbers in. We put policies in, they're starting last season. We took some hits last season, but they're putting these things in place. Don't train, you don't play. Don't pay your subs, you don't play. A lot of people say it, don't do it, but we've just gone, no, it's not.
You got some drinks forfeits in there as well if they don't turn up to training.
They don't play. It's simple as that. You just don't play. It's I'm not if you've just had a kid, for instance, and you've got to take things into account. Everyone's got, we do this for the love of it and for subs as well. Yeah. But if you don't just don't bother turning up, you don't tell us, so you're not going to play. And that happens to a few players. And I think some players have been a bit shocked to the system, but they bought into it, they know. And I think that's made us a lot more competitive because of that. Those hits last season we took with results. Because we haven't turned up, we've had to bring other players in. But the squad's that big, and I think...
We're saying selection issues as well. I mean, you've got like five forwards there to play in two or three positions. It is really competitive. And the squad does keep changing around, and like I said, they all want to stay and be committed to it. So it's,
I think we've used like 24 players or something, 25 players already this season, the first team.
Yeah.
Because players have gone away, they come in. But no, I'm a believer in not calling games off because you have shorter players or any of this. You've got... The whole squad has to believe that you believe in them, because if you do need them one time, they're going to think, well, what's the point? I'm not going to think. So everyone that comes in, remember, you centre, we end up playing with a centre-back and a central midfield up front. They're still won the match because everyone wants to play and everyone's bought into it and everyone wants to do it. So, it's got a plan, but we'll see at the end of the season when it goes to plan, won't we? that's the all end, isn't it? At the end of the season, if we're promoted, although I want a win of the league, if we're promoted, then I suppose you can say it's got a bit to plan, but I still want trophies along the way because nobody remembers promoted teams. Teams came second.
Sam, we talk about buying into it. Now, you made the move back to your spiritual home of Gary.
I've been waiting for this question.
What made you want to return for your second spell at the Mighty Millers? Because obviously you were at St George's last year, Premier League football, probably going to be contending for the top flight title again this year.
Yeah.
But you made the decision to drop down a division.
Yeah, I've had the best 10 years of football I could ever have asked for at St George's. It was fantastic. I'm happy to be a part of that team that's been that, three Grand Slams in that 10 years period is a big thing. But for me, it's not that in the week stuff that's for me. It's all the training, it's stuff that comes with that. Like I said to you, there are 28 lads at training who all want to be there, all want to do to play, to have fun. At St George's, there's a bit of an age gap appearing, as you've seen. Like I say, the young lads, and they're brilliant, they're fantastic, and some of the older lads. And I think being a coach and coaching that group of under 16s last year, they've come through into playing Combi and playing a bit of first team now this season. The likes of Ben Wasser and Morgan and Kieran Chu and the likes. For me, it's letting them play. And like I say, it's what Foxy's put in place is what I want at football. It really is. I want to know that if I want a place, I'm going to earn it. I want the lads to do well. I want it to be a big social. I have a few friends, obviously. I've come back. I grew up there. It's a number of reasons. So, but I really look forward to it until I got that injury. So
what have you done? Tell us.
So we'll go back last year, April time, where I went, this year, snowboarding, had a little crash on the snowboard, did one of my knee ligaments. It took me 6 months to get back playing, and I jumped back into a friendly against the under-18s Ireland team.
Yeah, because you come on a sub against Colby. You didn't train, didn't you?
Played 20 minutes against Colby. Then played 60 minutes against the Alamander under-18s. Last minute of the game, me being the competitive guy, I've jumped up for a header at the back post thinking, I'm getting there, I'm going to score. I didn't score even to keep it safe. I went over the young lad, just landed on the floor, and I've twisted my knee, and it's happened again. So I've been seeing Ian Kelly, and he's told me not to put a time limit on the injury. So my season, unfortunately, playing season has gone for this year.
Wow.
But he's added so much. He had a week or so off, but he's added so much on the thing. It's without sounding, he's still helping us. Even though he's not playing, he's helping us.
Is it frustrating being on the sidelines, or is it? Or is it nice sort of developing your coaching side?
It's nice developing the coaching side of it. Definitely is. All the lads are massive keen. They're really keen on wanting the info. All the lads there have got ability. They're they're asking questions after training, they're coming, oh, what do I do here, or can I have a bit there? Or so the discussion around the football is great, and that you can see that's what they want. Yeah, of course I miss playing. Like I say, that 6 months was a really sort of dark time, just wanting to get back to playing. I'm sure this season will be a little bit the same. As long as I can do a couple of keepy uppies on the side, I think I'll be all right.
There must be a lot of respect there from the other Mills players for you, because obviously you've been there at the pinnacle of Manx football and you've won everything there is to win there. Are you passing on that experience to them? Are you giving them advice, especially the younger players, etc.?
I think so. I'm not one to lead off that reputation, though. I have done it. But it's more just... I'm trying to work on bringing up my understanding of actually the game of football, and that's what I really want to do, is just improve that. And the lads, they know I've done bits and pieces, and they know I'm coaching, so it's a nice thing. I'd rather it be for
you enjoy doing
being,
it as well,
being a coach, yeah, and I love doing it, and I'm passionate for it.
I think they can see that he's passionate for it, and they understand it. And you get the most complicated thing, and you'll get over it in 5-10 seconds. And when you're a kid, when you're a footballer, the worst thing in the world is stand there trying to work out what everyone's going on about, and then the session starts and people walk and you go, what are we going to be doing? Am I going to be here?
Yeah.
But you just get to explain it, it's done, it's off, it's gone. Yeah. You know, you always get the one.
Not naming names.
We can if you want. But but it's on, they're in, and you understand it, pick it up. You know, when you just explain it that easy. Now I've said it loads of times, it's a sign of a coach that can get a lot of information, put it into them quickly and get them to do it quickly. So I know he has been brilliant. He's getting what's in here and putting it out there. Because I do want to play football. I want to play football the right way. I want fullback flying forward. I want my centre backs playing the ball out. I want goalkeeper playing the ball. I want interchanging football. I want 5 or 6 in the box. Because I want people to come and watch us and go, I was entertained. What a game of football that was.
And the lads
want to do that as well. Knowing that, and it encouraged me. You see, when I first took over last year, you see they were a bit scared, a bit tentative. Like, go forward. Went, go forward. I want you to the box. I'd be more angry. There's no worse than someone putting the ball in a box and 4 defenders standing there and 1 strike. You're like, well, that's just them giving it back. Yeah. That's the way I see it. I'd rather lose 1 or 2 goals scoring 5, 6 or 7. No, because I do want to entertain and I want lads to enjoy themselves rather than get it and hoof it. Or, it might be the wrong side of the play, but you know, I want everybody to touch the ball and enjoy themselves and express themselves.
You've got one of the most recognisable faces in Manx football touchlines in Eric Bregazzi, so yeah. Keeping him entertained.
Your career's on line with
So I was just going to say, do you remember back in the day, Football Manager, Championship Manager, do you remember Nicholas Alexanderson when he first came out? So he played for Everton and Sheffield Wednesday as a professional, but he used to always sign him on the early versions of Championship Manager and Football Manager. Because he could play in any position. He was an attack defender, midfielder, attacker, right, left, central.
Yeah.
Now, my question to you, Sam, is when you come back from this injury, what position are you going to play? Because last year you were playing centre-back, right-back, centre-mid, up front. You know, is there one that you particularly want to play? Or
I don't know. I
you're like a kid, though, because like going, I really want to play up front this week. I mean, this week.
That's it, and I've always just wanted to play.
I
think growing up with Geordies and stuff, with it being so competitive, like at the start when I first moved, it was like, I will literally play anywhere to get into this team. Same with the Ireland squad, I will literally just work my, I'll play anywhere. And that's it, love it. And then, you know, going into coaching and getting all the info and working out how to play different positions and actually being able to put it in practice was great. I grew up playing up front.
Yeah.
I grew up playing up front.
Oh, yeah, you did.
I did. And I wouldn't mind having to go back up there. Like you say, I played, I think it was a couple of years ago, there was no Pekka and no Callum at Geordies. Yeah. I think I started the first eight games and scored 12 goals. As soon as they came back, right back. So, yeah, that's...
And centre back for me was the revelation last year, and I thought, well, I think it was, I can't remember what game it was, and you may have played in a 3 centre backs, and I was thinking, it's going to be a stretch for Sam this, because usually he's used to going up the wing at full back, but you were one of the best players that day, and you're not the tallest of lads, but you looked great, and you were great in the air. Or, is that something you thought, I'll give it a go, but I didn't think I'd be particularly good at it, but you were a bit of a revelation.
No, I don't know.
I think it's easier though, isn't it? Because I played further forward when I was younger and I moved back, and I found it easier because I could see what the fields and the centre backs were going to do with the ball and the ones people were going to make.
Rude Bullock famously did it, didn't he?
He sort of counted, but you know, he's one of those buffoons at this match. About where you put them, he's good. It's really annoying.
So leaving at centre back next year, we're a bit expecting you to go forward and score an overhead
kick.
Yeah,
if it happens, it happens. Yeah, it probably could happen with the amount of forwards that we've got available.
Hey, it is what it is. We've got the pace having the fun.
Lee Dixon always said to me, actually, he said you're better when you can see the entire game in front of you. He's always said that to me. And, it's one of those things that just stuck with me. I think, like I say, I've scored a couple of goals making runs from centre back, so it's yes, no, and I don't mind.
Will you be borrowing the gloves off Richie at any point if you go goal for a spell?
That happened when I was 16, playing in Nets, but no more. I got a Woods Cup for playing in Nets, actually.
That's not bad. Foxy, obviously, it's a big game on Saturday. We talked about it before we started recording. This is always a fixture that sort of stands out in the fixture list, isn't it? Air away, even more so this season because of the signings they made in the summer.
Yeah.
It's a big game. You said if you win, you're 6 points clear of them, and they're going to be one of the teams that are going to be there or thereabouts come May. There's a bit of pressure on this fixture, isn't there, for you guys? Has it been easy keeping the guys sort of level-headed and motivated for it?
I thought we had, I said before, we had a good pre-season. We've beaten first division teams, and we were playing nice football. We were improving, and I think St John's played well, and a bit of average, but I think that was a kick up the arse that we needed, to be honest. I think since then, the lads have just gone, we just do a game at a time. They come in, they work hard, and they're working hard every session. I've got them up there on Saturdays, and they've all turned up on a Saturday. They've got afterwards, but they come up and they put a fitness session on a Saturday, and they go, I want to keep it going. They want to keep it going. So I don't think it's, I think we're confident, we're not arrogant now. I think that's, we know we're good enough to win the league. We know we're good enough to beat any team in that league, but we're coming a game at a time, though.
Do you go there? We've thought that, I can't remember. We've had lots of guests in. Some teams, they tend to go and just play the way they play. They don't alter their game to the opponent. So do you go there just going to play the football you play and see what happens, or are you wary of the threat that they've got?
I've been watching them a couple of times when we have our games. We went to watch them against Braddon. We played them in pre-season as well. But I prefer to play our own game, and then if we need to alter it in the first 5-10 minutes to stop something like we did against Colby, they were getting us down the wings, we changed it and stuff. I think we need to go out and play our game. Then if certain little tweaks need doing, then go with that. We're attacking team, that's what we want to do. I don't think we can just sit back and defend. We've worked so hard on attacking being an attacking team that we are. I mean, we are getting better defensively, but I mean, I know, I've seen them play, they've got some good players, they've got some footballers in now. I don't think they play quite as long as they used to.
I think
they've got some good footballers, get the ball on the feet, they've got good wingers, good players, good midfielders, like Shields.
Yeah. And Skilly, there is, a good core there.
They've got some really good players, they've got some footballers there. And they've always had footballers, but they've always been big, strong lads as well. And I expect a competitive game, but I've got to be confident and believe my players. And I do believe in my players, and my players believe in them, someone's away, someone else will come in. And I'm not scared of sticking anyone in that squad or in that team. We won't change our plan, we'll just work it as we go along.
Before we delve into the raft of social media questions we've got for you two, just touch on that fitness training you're doing, because I saw a picture, it was up on either your Twitter or the Uni Mills Twitter.
Oh, fitness with Foxy.
And you do it in the clubhouse, don't you?
We usually do it outside, but it was that bad, we do it inside, but we do it inside as well.
So talk us through, what do you do?
We're just constant fitness, just running on the spot, 20 press ups, 10 press ups, just keep them going and going and going. Yeah, a minute's rest. After 20 minutes, do it again, and just keep going.
Quick trip around the bar.
Some of them can walk on Monday because of it, but they're happy to do it because they want to win. And that's the thing, they'll go, I'll do whatever it takes to win the matches or keep our fitness up. So on Saturdays, there's no game, we'll train.
It wouldn't happen without the social either, like I say. There's 24, 28 to 28 lads there, and just saying about training and stuff.
No.
Like, everybody wants to do it. It's great. Like I say, if you get two or three, you'll get the keen ones that are committed. It just shows the commitment. And socially, to all do it together, which is great. One thing I'm really happy with when I move back.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Right, well, we've got tons of questions for these lads, haven't we, from on the wires, as it were.
Yeah, we'll start off with a podcast favourite, Agent Rashid. We've got a possibly Christmas special coming up soon.
He keeps hinting at that quite heavily.
We might actually have to get that sorted at some point. It says, glad you're back, lads, I missed you. Who is enjoying a brew from my mug?
That's
me.
Sounds like a mug.
Yeah. So he asked, if you could pick one player to take to Mills from your rivals in Division 2, who would it be?
Fancy.
Without sounding like a manager, there's no one I take because I believe in all my players. I don't want them to think that, oh, if I said a striker or midfielder, yeah, but what you're saying, I'm not good enough, because I do genuinely believe in all players. There's players I respect. I think Dan Sherry, he's a massive miss for Ryan Cobb. I think he's a great player, fit lad, fast. Peck, obviously, he's just... He'll be the best finisher in the league. He'll score goals definitely in the centre. The young keeper and left back at Oncombe, Dawson, is it Dawson?
Yes. Yeah.
He's played against a couple of times. He's unbelievable. He's going to be... If we beat them, was it 9-1? We beat them, I think it was. And it could have been... It wasn't favourite when he was 15, 16. He was unbelievable. Every time I see him play, his distribution of the ball, he's pulling him out of the top corner, and his brother was playing left back, and he was unbelievable. He's like Grincha, up and down, fit lads. I mean, them two are going to be good players, but you know, I'm happy with my squad. There's no one to take, you know, everyone's bought into what we're doing, and I wouldn't stop them.
Good answer. Sam?
Yeah. I've actually been messaging Kieran. just been asking how things at Kirkmichael, you know.
Well, 31st of December.
You know, looking at the league table there, Kieran, you know, you're more than welcome.
We've our combi for you.
Doesn't pass us tapping up there, does it?
Another one in your path.
Like say, Peck is one of the best players I've ever played with, and why would I not want him in my team? So.
And he's a nice bloke as well.
And he's a lovely lad, yeah.
Agent Rashid also asks, with 2020...
Sorry, from the sublime to the ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah. With 2020 fast approaching, you'll need a new calendar. If you could have a calendar of anyone, who would it be?
Right, can I go first on this? So we were having a little chat downstairs before we came in, right, and I would love this to happen. I don't want any of these celebrity calendars, none of these kitten calendars, nothing like that. I want Gary Waitman to make a calendar.
Right, yeah.
And because he's out taking, you know, photos weekly, and, you know, he gets months together, I'd love a 2020 calendar of bad heads. I would love a calendar of bad
the
heads.
The Phil Jones calendar.
The Phil Jones calendar by Gary Waitman. Yeah, that would be...
Gary usually listens to this, so let's see if we can make this happen. You could maybe do it for charity.
It'd be fantastic, wouldn't it?
Yeah. So you on board with that one, Foxy? Yeah. I thought maybe an Eric Bogazzi calendar, the man of 12 hats.
Oh, no. I love Eric, you know, but no. Nobody needs that.
Going back to the bad faces, is there anyone in particular in your team that you think...
Oh, no, well, I guarantee...
We're hit with the ball, we're not getting hit with the ball.
I mean, Gary has got some fantastic pictures of me over the years. He's got one of me, you know, 10 foot in the air trying to take the ball down. He's got all
the overhead kick.
Well, yeah,
but that's a good one though. Yeah. That's not a bad head, I don't think. But yeah, I've seen a couple. Quay's a good one. Quay's a good one for that. I'm sure there's a few in my hairline somewhere. I know we're going to get into that later on. So.
Well, actually, I was going to save you grace because there was tons of questions about yours and Ryan Kelly's hairline.
And Ryan Kelly's hairline,
but
yeah.
we thought we'd leave them out because we...
No, why?
Because, you know, we're tight on time, Foxy, you know what I mean? And you people have
got... We've always got to talk about receding hairlines and who's got the worst, Ryan or Sam.
Well, I don't know. What's
Ryan,
the...
Ryan. Well, the only thing is Ryan just hides his well.
Ryan Cole has got hair short here, about an inch long here, then like 12 inches long here.
Yeah,
and he wears a lace on it to hold it down so it doesn't flap everywhere.
But I don't know if you've seen, did you see recently on Facebook, Johnny Shields' inevitable video?
Yeah, yeah. I thought that was very good, actually. Yeah. Well done, Johnny. You have to pass on your compliments to the
I'm waiting for him to come by and do an inevitable part two. could be in a couple of years.
Next question is in from Aaron Delaney, the new first team manager at Douglas and District. Good luck for that role, because obviously Rick Delaney, his cousin, doesn't it?
Yes.
Stepped down last week, the week before.
So. Yeah, he just wanted to change, I think. So.
Yeah. Aaron's obviously done a great job with the combi at D&D. I think they're in their best ever season last year. Yeah. They're doing well again this year, so it would be interesting if we can transform that into the first team. But he says, Foxy, you seem to have a close-knit group of lads down there. What are your long-term goals for the club?
Success, trophies, get in the first division, and challenge them top of the first division. Might sound like a load of rubbish, or something everyone says, but what's the point of being a footballer if you're going to win trophies?
But
you know, you're either in it to win trophies, you're in it for fun. And I mean, I want both together, but I want to win trophies, you know, I want you to win trophies. You've got all that land up there, the club, you know, it's got history, and I want us to be successful, and that's not just there, junior level as well, you know, expanding the junior setup, which we're doing. You know, we've got a couple of under 14s now, we're going to get a few more in next season. You know, and I want the whole club, just a family club that's successful and show that you can do it, being a family club and be successful at the same time, be competitive, never want to come to us. I'm not asking any of these players, I mean, I spoke to Sam and stuff, but all these players have come to us. I've not gone out and go, "Oh, Lucy, I don't want you to come to us, what you sign for us." But you know, we've had conversations, haven't we, type of thing.
Yeah, it's not happened over a gin.
But you know, they come because of what we're doing, yeah, and the way we move forward, and then they go, "You know what, I want some of that." No. And it's good because of Mills lads like Sam and Matty and Jordan and Boothie, they love the club as well. No, although they've left for whatever personal reasons. Everyone's got a right to leave the club. You know, I think it's good for players to leave the clubs now and again. You know, but they come back and they're part of it, and I think that's helped as well. They know the club, so but basically success. That's what I want.
Yeah. He also compliments Louise on the great spread of food after the game. So you can say that.
Yeah, she jumps in when Lisa Bradshaw's not around. She's done a couple of meatball pastas, I believe, and some garlic bread. She's done some nice.
I'm going to have to be careful while I'm not playing here.
Well, it ties in very nicely with the next question from Rory Poole, our combination football reporter extraordinaire.
He did a report in this week's Examiner, which is on sale now, on a youthies game with
Foxdale,
wasn't it? Yeah. Which he's a big shout out to Combi Corner in it as well.
I think he's buttering us up a little bit. But yeah, Rory asks, if I was to do a match report with Gary Moore, what snacks and hot beverages can you guarantee me?
Sausage rolls, cups of tea and coffee.
Oh, that's a winner.
Cornish pasties as well.
Tell you what,
I need a trip back up there sometimes.
Ice Station Zebra, as I remember, quizzed it once. Yeah. And that was after a Gold Cup semi-final in April or May. It was that cold.
To be fair, we've been quite lucky this season so far. It's only the last couple of weeks. It's actually been warm and sunny up there. So.
And it has the wind. I remember Christian Calamanduna telling me the story once until a goal kick and it came back over his head.
It's actually been... Well, wait, this shit so far.
Yeah, touching wood.
I'm assuming that will change pretty soon.
Next 4 months. Exciting.
You mentioned pasties there. Obviously, you're not going to bring back Pasty Watch, are you, Andy? I know you used to do this famed blog.
The Pasty Watch was part of the Max Football blog, which was the seedlings for which to this. But yeah, well, I don't know. Maybe there's enough appetite for it. If you pardon the pun.
Well, I think if you don't do it, we should get Rory to do it. Maybe he should do it. Pasty or sausage roll watch or whatever he wants.
We'll put it forward.
Overall watching and all.
Now this is the first for the Max Football Podcast. We've actually got a Twitter question from one of the guests for the other guests. So Foxy sent this one in last night. He says, "This is for you, Sam. Have you ever been on time for a night out?"
Yes.
Probably with Foxy. No.
I'm not great with timings and nights out and things, to be honest.
Daily.
Did you guys see the Chelsea code of conduct that was leaked online this week?
I don't know if it's true or what.
And the fines for punctuality were unbelievable. Did you see it, Foxy?
We've got our own fine list.
Yeah. So what? If you're late, what's your fine?
It's pound fines, obviously, because we're not getting paid.
Not the £1,000 it was.
We got a few.
It's getting the list up.
You're missing open goal, you get a fine. Yeah. You got the toilet in the warm up, you get a fine. Kit inside out, on the phone, when the warm up, late for matches, dirty boots, swearing on the Facebook page, snitching, which is basically Ryan Kelly. Yeah. Don't put water bottles back in, losing footballs in training, dirty boots.
Yeah, dirty boots.
Boots is the big one.
Yeah, and that is a subject of the Chris Quelly question a bit later on, so we'll come back to that one.
Did you see the Moyes Keane one? Obviously, you're an Everton fan.
He's been late twice to team meetings, so was dropped from the matchday squad.
Yeah, it's not looking too good for him at the moment.
But Graeme Souness was rubbing his hands together with glee after he wrote him off at the start of the season. Next question is from Matty Quirk. He says, "Sam, who's the best and worst Fortnite player within the group and why?"
So this is something I get quite regularly.
Because you do stream a lot of stuff, don't you? It's Twitch, isn't it?
Yeah. I take a lot of abuse for this, but I stream on Twitch and there's a group of us and we all play games and my thoughts are if I'm playing a game and having a laugh with a group of lads and anyone else wants to jump in and have a laugh, great. It's a bit weird when I'm sat in at home on my own just playing on my PlayStation alone, so at least doing it with others it makes it seem okay.
Yeah.
Quirky loves a build in Fortnite. I don't know if you've played before, but
I've watched my stepson play and it's a bit. Yeah, he's like, "God, this is ACES," and they're like,
"Yeah." Quirk will appreciate that though. It's got to be Ryan though. It's painful to watch. He can't play.
So who's the best then?
Who's the best? Oh, probably my friend Ben.
Right, okay.
Or, there's a couple of us. I might throw myself in there.
Oh, yeah.
My hat in the ring.
Hugo was telling me there's been a new thing a couple of weeks ago. You got very excited about there's a new map and all sorts of stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, new season, yeah, constantly.
I literally don't know what they're talking about or what this conversation's about.
Yeah. To be fair, I'd have this much excitement about Football Manager or Tennis Manager. Well, yeah. I've lost
But it's really strange, though, because I turned up, it was a couple of months ago, down to Ireland training, and Tom Wood's chatting to me, saying he's seen me stream, and Reece Oates has jumped on there and seen me, and they're all having a chat about
You're becoming an influencer, Sam.
Probably not.
Like Will Miller and his bath bombs.
He's going to be really disappointed. He's not here today, isn't he?
He is, actually. Yeah. Sorry, Will.
Have you thought, while you're on the sidelines at the moment, about streaming any games or anything like that? Any Mills games?
No, not yet.
Yeah,
no.
Like, I suppose you don't want to step on Hattie's toes.
If anyone wants to volunteer and come and do that, that's much appreciated.
The next one is a question from Matt. He's still on the Fortnite theme. He says, Foxy, rumour has it that you can throw a few shapes when it comes to a night out. So what is your go-to Fortnite dance move and why?
I don't have one.
Yeah.
And the only shape I throw is fat and round. Fortnite band. If you do a Fortnite dance, you're getting dropped.
Oh, you can't argue with that. Right, so the next question's in from Ant Page. He said, it's another one for you, Foxy. He says, do you think giving a match official a lift to a Mills game might be seen on a par with FIFA corruption?
If we win, no.
He says, Sam, do you credit your under-14 coaches at Mills as the ones that made you the player you are today?
Love how he's taking credit for that. He wasn't there some Saturdays, so it was his friend Matt who turned up in his builder's boots and his steel toe caps, and he turned up on a Saturday morning to have a kick around with us. But yeah, no, Paige was great when I was younger, and I'm not quite giving him credit.
Well, we should he started something.
Because
he got referee of the week the other week, didn't I? So,
he did.
And he's been doing, seems to be doing a lot of top flight games at the moment, so he's doing
good
well.
Good ref, yeah.
So he's well going on.
He's a good lad.
Class.
Famously lives next door to my mother-in-law.
Very famous.
Say hello.
There you go.
Yeah. Next question in from one of our most far-flung listeners, isn't it, Dave?
Our stateside man, Chris Clark. It's a question for you, Sam. He says, you obviously went back to Mills to play, but found yourself doing a bit of coaching. How have you found that? And I know we touched on this before, but and what, if anything, have you tried to implement from your time playing for some of the island's top coaches at Geordie's?
Okay. I did originally go back to play. I hadn't even helped out with coaching for the first couple of training sessions while I was there. It was literally just to go and play. So it's actually been really nice now jumping into coaching, and I can really throw myself into it, and I can really, you know, think about it in detail. And we speak a lot about what needs to happen in training and games. Yeah. Me, Mikey Crellin.
Mike Crellin came in last year, and he's been brilliant for us. He was in the combi, and then we got big Mike Shimmin back as well, and he's been brilliant. I mean, and that's the thing I thought about is club members, somebody on Sammy, but no, it doesn't work without. The committee have backed me 100%. No, I want this, I need that, I need this, I need bigger spaces, I need more. No, we had half a ball, now we've got the whole of the ball, the train arm. No, in order to do these things, we need the space to do it. They backed us, you know, we've got people doing the food on the Saturdays, under 14s, we've got parents washing kits for us. You know, we're trying to make it as family oriented as possible, and it's working that well because of all these people that are involved and want to be involved, enjoy it, and do it for the love of it. We don't get paid for it. No, they're doing it for the love of it and for the love of the club, and they believe in what they're doing.
That's nice, so, and you find a lot of teams on the Isle of Man, especially at like junior level and stuff, though, and I'm sure there's a lot of people out there appreciate this. There's coaches who are, you know, there's one of them, and then they're expected to manage a group of 14, 15, up to 20 or 30 kids, and it's not the easiest. So having, you know, four of us there regularly, five of us is really good, and like I say, all the lads are keen, and they want that information. So the coach,
same as junior level now, like Jordan Crawley's helped doing the 14s, Will Miller, Ryan Kelly, Shane, he's paid for us as well, he's come in as well, he's mates with Jordan, you know, so the players that are part of the club are helping coach as well, and
that's nice, isn't it?
They're trying to stem it down. It's all, you know, we want to make it one club, you know, it's all, that's what we want it to be, just one big club, and everyone being part of it, and everyone helping out and jumping in when it needs to be, and, you know, I'll do the bars today, or I'll do this, you know, and that's what we're, since I'm coming out to be trying to work on.
So have you picked up any coaching trinkets along the way?
Thinking about this before, I've been very, very fortunate. I've had, you know, Chris and Lee and Paul O'Brien at St George's, and I've had Jonesy and Burnsy and everybody care. I first started playing with the Isle of Man when Kev was in charge. You do pick up bits and pieces. Yeah, you definitely do. And like I say, having that wanting to coach and wanting to see what they're doing. I say sometimes like, you know, Jonesy said to me in the past, I kind of have to think a little bit more with you because you're kind of on the same wavelength for the coaching. I'm kind of, you know, head on first. But there are a couple of things you pick up, and there are a couple of games and drills and little things you pick up that you think, you know, they work, and they work for the messages that you're trying to put across. And, you know, all we're trying to do really is just give the lads, you know, some effective habits, really, essentially. Things that'll help them, you know, patterns, knowing where each other are on the pitch. But, you know, like Foxy wants, so he wants the lads to, like, go out and express themselves and play, you know, play their way and do it. So I've tried to put a couple of things in, but nothing major. It's just getting used to the lads, because the lads at Union Mills are not the lads at St George's. They're not the Ireland team. They're their own group, so we have to manage them for them, and that's what we've tried to do.
Next question in from a former podcast guest only a few weeks ago now.
The Max Hector Bellerin. Mike Williams. He asks, is Matty Kane the best player to have graced Union Mills?
He's one of the best players I've seen grace at Union Mills.
I've got to actually object to sort of point a counter here, because I know that there has been a player that's been at the World Cup, has been up at Gary Moore, and played Premier League football, scored more than 10-15 goals in a season in the Premier League. I think represented England B, and also represented Jamaica at the World Cup. I'm of course talking about Robbie Earle, because I coached with him up at Gary Moore. So I would say he's probably the best player ever to grace Gary Moore.
I don't know. I think a few better than that. we've been lucky to have a lot of good players, you know, over the years. I mean, I played with Darren Scarf, who's one of the best footballers. I mean, John Nash, probably able to play with him, but probably the most natural footballer I've ever seen. Dean France, you know, as much as he likes his views and stuff, but I used to go to training, I'd be like, how's he done that?
Quine's
first touch. I mean, the only person I've seen close to first touch of Quine is Jordan. Their first touch is... His first touch, he just kill you, quite with his first touch. I'd say that Dean France would just do something training, he'd be like, how's he done that? He'd do it in matches, like, foot, left foot, put him anywhere on the pitch. I mean, he was a great player, Mikey Nash. He was a little messy, as he was called, you know, AJ, you know. I mean, Jody Scarf, I don't think he ever got the credit he deserved. I mean, I don't think I ever seen him lose a header, even the one he scored the own goal in the final. But, you know, he was out there every game. You never see him drop below a 7 rating. It was always win the ball, win the ball, win the ball, win, win, win. And we've always got the different types of who's the best player you've ever played with. But there's different, you know, defenders and midfielders and strikers, attacking players. It's hard to think down, but Matty is, I mean, he was part of that treble team. He's one of the St. Geordie's, 3-0, you know, if you're going to Geordie's, you know, he caused them all sorts of problems that day. So
just going to throw out there, I scored the fourth.
and to be fair, you got a very good reception of you, Mills.
I think the first touch I got of the ball, all I heard was boo.
And it was the worst first touch I think I've ever taken in my life.
But no, Matty is a very good player. He is very good, but he's called Magic for a reason, isn't he? So
a question for himself, haven't we?
Yeah, do you want to take this one, Andy?
He says, do you think Mills will ever be able to stop their most talented young players from leaving the club? To be fair, it sounds like you're addressing it at the moment with the feel of the club, and they want him feel included, and you get into the Premier League and are challenging at the top. Why would they leave?
I think all you can do is put what you believe in, what I believe in, place, and how I think the club should be run in place. And if people want to buy into that, they do. If they don't, then fine. But these lads have gone off. You know, Sam went off to Geordies. He's been successful. I went off to Russian. They're a good team. It's not like they've just gone off and gone, oh, I'm going to a rival, a rubbish rival. They've gone off to good teams. They've gone off Jordan, Booth, went off to Mary's. You know, they haven't gone off to like another second division team or a lower first division team. They've gone off and played for good teams. Jordan, Booth were part of that squad last season. Well, Booth later on, but you know, they were part of that squad.
They've got still out there. Joe Boyle, Joey Morlin. There's a lot of Brody Patience, Corinthians, and out in the States.
They were, you know, part of the juniors. I wasn't sort of around at the time. No, I was away from the club at the time when they were around. But, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with people going away and trying something different. Sometimes you appreciate more when you come back. You know, sometimes Sam's been there, won every trophy you can, and he's a better player for it. Jordan will be a better player. Really a better player. Matty's a better player for it. You know, they're better players because of it. You know, and it's like people think the youth system was only created a few years ago when it wasn't. The team that took Geordies away, Matty Kane came to Union Mills, James Cannell, Union Mills, Dobbo, Uni Mills, Gaz, Uni Mills, Mike Nash. The list goes on, right? They came to Uni Mills. I think it was like nine of the starting lineup were from Uni Mills, and there was like three of them on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sam on the opposition, so he probably can't remember. But, you know, we've always had a good youth system and stuff. You know, it went off a few years ago and stuff, but we'll get it back, and we will get it back. You know, what we're doing at senior level, what we're doing at junior level, we want people part of it, be part of a family, and we will. You can't guarantee you're going to keep anyone, because you can't guarantee people. You get 16-year-olds to come through. If you've got a squad of 25, 26, 27-year-olds, they're not going anywhere. Unless that kid's good enough and gone, take this place and gone, no, they're just exceptional, they get in. You can't, you know, but if you've given them the best ground you possibly can at youth level to enjoy themselves, they'll always be welcome back. But they might need to go off somewhere else. You know, senior football and junior level is a big jump for some players. I seen Joey Morland's debut. He was the best player to pitch.
Mm.
And he just like, fucked the water, went off. Did it, Colin Garrity, took to water, took training.
Jordan Crowley, so.
And there's these players that they just come in, they've just gone, took to water. You know, Gaz Logan, Sam was the same. Some players, I've seen players that are better than them players at junior level, get to senior level, go, I don't like this.
Mm.
It's hard, you know, they're getting kicked, people are faster, people are stronger, you know. And it's that mentality as well, you know, you can sit and fight, but, you know, I like everybody in those just come through the ranks and stuff, but it will not happen. It's impossible. Their friends will go off somewhere and convince them to go somewhere. They're not getting game time, which is fair enough. They go, you know, you can't keep. But if we can keep a majority and keep a conveyor belt, but the way I see it is, if we've given a load of kids a great ground in football, and they go off and they have a good career somewhere else, then fine. That's it. No, we've done our job. Right, you know, that's basically what I want the club to be like. You know, people just enjoy themselves. Kids going want to play football.
The Matty Kane theme continues, doesn't it?
Oh, Christ, what,
it's from Matty Lamb.
Yeah.
He says, does Matty Kane still wear his McCarthy shirt to train it? Now, is it Everton James McCarthy shirt? Is it, or?
I have no idea, because I haven't seen it.
Right,
so
okay.
I don't know.
Is he an Everton fan?
He is an Everton fan, but I've not seen it.
So he must have burnt it when he left Croyte Larry then?
Maybe.
I wouldn't take much notice of it, to be honest. Either way, but...
final question from a Miller stalwart, isn't it?
Yeah, Chris Kelly, a question for you, Sam. After the success of your Parish Walk support video, are there any plans to recreate it in 2020?
No,
I think you're right. I think I'm secretly an influencer and I didn't even know myself.
It was.
You'll be unboxing soon, won't you? Yeah.
How many views did that get in the end?
I think last time we were checking it was 60 or 70,000 views.
That's unbelievable.
Which is incredible.
Yeah.
So
who were you supporting? Was it?
Our friend Josh Brand,
right.
And he I think previously got to somewhere like Kurt Michael, or
yeah.
maybe just passed, and he was doing it, he was going around. I think me and Ryan and his brother Ben weren't doing anything that day, and we were like, because he'd already been supported by our friend Brandon, and we were just like, yeah, we'll come round, we'll come and do that. And then I think just to spur him on at the time, I think we jumped on that grass bank at the first part of the video and just started doing it. But as people were going past, there were like five, six people and they were like just smiling and laughing with it. So we're like, you know what? Can we keep this going?
I heard some people say some other stuff. When I was walking down along somewhere and I was like, who are them? And my feet are sore, my knees are sore, and they're dancing around thinking it's funny. I'm like, hey,
but you know what, it was actually incredible. Like, anyone who supports the Parish Walk, it's
a great
event, one
event.
It's fantastic, and
it is, yeah.
to watch what they have to go through is incredible.
So you're gonna be back for 2020?
Well, we just need to get somebody to do it.
I'm doing it.
it could be a 2-minute video though.
I've got to be to get Michael once then, very much.
You
could have the right support, Sam.
Yeah, that's it.
Ryan has said he might challenge himself to do a marathon because he's a fit lad, so it could be the case if we go and support him doing something like that. So.
Right, cool. Well, we'll look forward to seeing that. You need a group name though, don't you? You need some sort of
group name.
I don't know.
We'll think of something.
You can put it out to your followers on Twitch.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
Next question from Chris. He says, Foxy, you've introduced fines this season, which we've heard about. It's heading towards a free bar at the end of season two. But do you think if you've taken it too far with the dirty boots rule?
I think we've figured out who is the main culprit.
To be fair, the dirty boots rule was brought in by Matty Kane. It was his suggestion.
So is it just that you want players turning up with clean boots? Is that basically?
Oh, I wasn't bothered, to be honest. I was just off if it was Matty Kane goes, oh, we used to get to a fine with it. Why don't we do dirty boots as well? I said, oh, we'll put dirty boots in. And now everyone's complaining about it. So if anyone wants to complain,
I remember
they can complain Matty Kane. But it's all going to be on the bar at the end of the season too.
Yeah.
So
It's definitely
it's about 70 quid there.
When you first started playing, clean boots was a big thing, wasn't it?
Clean boots was a massive thing. At St George's, they were clean boots. Ireland, you turn up to an Ireland game, obviously you're not just boots, you're turning up in shirt and tie. So I'm happy with dirty boots.
Well, let's see if any other club. We were going to put it on Twitter. We never did. What were initiation drinks, weren't we?
Oh, yeah. That'll be it.
Because Laxey have got, what was it, the pickled egg and the Guinness and something else. And then obviously the infamous monkey brains that get them around.
We've had two songs. I've just had my initiation back in.
They have two songs on their debut.
Right, okay.
You have to sing for everyone.
Build Me a Buttercup.
I've got all the videos, so I can send you the video.
Got up on the, I'd seen a couple of other people, and I decided, I'll get up on the bench, and I did give it a bit. Yeah.
Matty Cage was the best, though.
Matty's was incredible.
Matty changed the words to a song to Uni Mills. It was brilliant.
Yeah, it was fantastic. What I'll do is I'll put them on the bottom of their Twitter post.
Great, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah. In fact, just the final question in. It's a bit of an obscure one. This one, it's in from Harry Wetherill, and it's for you, Sam. He just wants to ask you, is that you, Sam? I don't know what it's all about. He just says, pronounce it with an extra A to make it sound Manx. Is there anything behind
that? Is that you, Ha? No, it was something that went around in Italy when we went off on one of the MIFA trips.
Europedia Championship.
Me and Harry shared a room. Kane and Josh Thomas and Frank and everyone got into it. Right. So, yeah, that's one thing that stuck.
Did he let you into his secret talents to show you the talents?
Oh, God.
Harry's? No.
No.
His abilities are fart on demand.
I did not know about this.
Yeah. No, we famously recorded it on a podcast. Yes.
That was brave of you.
Yeah, it was very brave.
Yeah, we went up to Ramsey, didn't we?
Very rare day in Ramsey, that one. I still remember now, the pool room of the Trafalgar Public House. Harry farting on demand, which was quite scary.
Surreal in itself. And then?
And then a fellow guest for Rory Poole showing us his third nipple.
Yeah.
A lot of stereotypes.
Anything happens over the mountain, then.
Yeah. A lot of stereotypes were reinforced on that trip. Right, what we got in would be remiss of us not to look ahead to Saturday, indeed the weekend's fixtures, because there's a Friday night game, Dave, isn't it, kicking off this weekend's action?
Yes, we've got St John's in action against Governors Athletic in Div 2. Which obviously Governors have got a new manager in charge, Tony Sewell. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see how they get on. They seem to have.
And a bit of breaking transfer news for them?
Yes. It's the same old joke, more clubs than Tiger Woods and all that. But Darren Flanagan has gone to Governors Athletic.
It'll be a good signing because he can score goals, don't he? So.
Yeah, and the Govers under Tony in the last couple of games have definitely rediscovered their scoring touch. So they'll obviously be hoping to make life a bit difficult for St John's, but you'd have to fancy the Saints to win this.
Yeah, St John's winning for this one.
Yeah, St John's. I mean, Tony will do a good job there. I know he has his team's fit. I've known Tony for years. We used to play with him years ago at Uni Mills when the Combi won the league. We had Gary Smith and all that lot. So, yeah, can't see by St John's, unfortunately.
Sam?
Yeah, Watto seems to be doing well out there as well. And the first game we played against, we talked before, Richard Wynn was really good
game.
And he was he dominated the difference for me. If he's fit and go in, then I can't see passing John's.
Richard Wynn definitely likes a Friday night project, doesn't he?
He does. So put a 50p on him to score a couple of goals tomorrow. Saturday, there's of course the rest of the Division 2 programme takes place. 2 o'clock kickoffs now, aren't we? Because we've gone past the witching hour and all that. So we'll kick off as in the north, and we should. Air versus Uni Mills. We've heard what the lads think, Dave. Going to put your punditry neck on the line. What are you thinking about this one?
I think Mills will sneak it. I think Air have yet to really put out their full strength team. I know they've had Johnny Shields and Matty Skillicorn in and out of the team a little bit. I don't think Sean Kelly's played yet. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't really think they've found a settled squad. But, at home on their day, they'll certainly cause a few problems, but I think Mills will be all right.
I'm going to sit on the Dave Norton Memorial Wall for this one, and I'm going to go for a score draw.
Definitely.
We've heard that Foxy favours attack over defence very much. I know this will jar against him because he was a Tottenham manager, but the Ozzie Ardiles style.
No. The awesome English style.
Over the 90s, but yes, I'm going for a score draw. Sam, you confident? Obviously, Foxy is.
Yeah, I'm confident. Like I say, I've seen the lads in training the last 3 weeks, and the boys have been playing really well. I gave them a load of praise last night for how they've been playing in training, how they've been playing in games. So yeah, I'm super confident ahead of the weekend.
And I read a story this week that, I don't know if you saw this, there was an article about how Premier League clubs are doing their best to save the environment now.
Yeah.
And one of the things that Burnley, apparently, carpool. So Ashley Barnes and Ashley Westwood bought a minibus between them, and they go around and pick all the players up and take them to training every morning. So is there a Mills Fun bus for tomorrow's big trip to Andreas?
Carry
or is
bus
it
on the way back.
Ryan's van.
I know I've got a full car.
Yeah. No, there isn't a fun bus, but...
Maybe that could be the next part of the project, Foxy.
Maybe, yeah. Let's get out of the division for
it. Yeah. We do have to do quite a few trips up north there, isn't there?
Yeah.
Michael, Youthy.
Let's buy a minibus.
Yeah.
Let's buy one.
Karaoke bus, yeah.
You could do your initiation.
Call it the Miller Machine.
Build me a book.
Brandon versus Colby is another close-looking game for me, Dave, but it should take place at Victoria Road. Now, both teams, Braddon are sort of both in the mix, aren't they? Colby have lost two. Braddon, as I frantically look at the table, have also lost two. Both only separated by a point in the table. Hard to call a winner in this one.
Yeah, it's certainly going to be close. Not much to choose between them. I think Colby will just about edge it. I know Braddon lost to Onken last week, which is probably a bit of a surprise result for them. We said off air that Onken are doing really well this season. So, yeah, I think Colby, especially with the likes of Carl Hickey, I know we mention him pretty much every week on the podcast, but he certainly found a shooting boot, so I think the Moonlighters should get 3 points.
Foxy?
I think Colby just. I've seen Braddon, I know what he part of it, I know he tries to play football the right way. But Colby are. They've been together a while, Colby as well. Mm. You know, they've had the players in Carl, and they've had a couple of players back from Malou. So I can't really. Colby, I think Colby wedge it.
Sam?
I haven't seen Braddon play. I don't know what the resurgence is like. And like I say, I played 20 minutes there down at Colby, and actually it was a tough 20 minutes to get into. They played really well, and they have got a good group of lads there, so I'm going with Colby.
I think I think this looks like draw as well. If I had a coupon on this week, I'd be looking, rubbing my hands together with glee, because this one looks like it could be a draw as well. I don't know. I think you're probably all right. It's probably going to be a classic Manx 7-5 or something like that, isn't it?
Oh, definitely down that pitch if the weather keeps up. It's going to be a mud bath.
Michael United versus Jim's, taking place at Blair Road, obviously home of the famous artificial telephone mast. Michael, now, we talked about Pekka before, Sam, and obviously Calum. They were the headline signings almost of the transfer window. Well, I say transfer window, it's still bloody wide open at the moment, isn't it? It's not quite happened there yet, has it? Now, as Dave is you've spoken to her a couple of times, they never really had them all available, Galacticos available at the same time. But
Pekka said that to me as well. He said, yeah, at the minute, you know, they haven't played. It's pretty much just him that's got in there. So, yeah, I don't know.
Jim's a bottom of the league, though. This should be a home win, shouldn't it?
Yeah, it should definitely. I think so. I'm definitely with Michael on this one.
Pekka, to get a goal or two on Saturday evening?
Like, he does keep scoring. He still gets the one or the
he
two.
He doesn't need one, does he? Yeah. That's sort of thing with him.
It's his old club as well, so...
Foxy, home win?
I'm going to go with draw. I've seen Jim's playing, and we played against him, and they gave us a bit of a game in the first half. I think they'll work hard. I think they've got a couple of good players floating around. So I'm going to go with draw. Score draw.
Dave? I'm going for a Michael win. I just think they'll be too strong on this. As you touched on there, I don't really know how their team's shaping up for this game. I know Hurty has been playing through the pain barrier a little bit. I don't know if Johnny Holland's back yet. I think Callum's out. So, yeah, but with any team with Pekka in, you know, it's going to have a good chance, aren't they? So.
Next game sees a Douglasson District host Foxdale at Nobles Park, where we always say the slope is a leveller. But I think actually D&D turned them over at Foxdale over a couple of seasons ago in this corresponding fixture. We always say they've got a result in their locker, and I'm rolling out the same cliches I would do every week for D&D. Aaron Delaney's the new man at the wheel.
Yeah, first game in charge. It'd be interesting to see if they get that new manager bounce. What would you like to say?
Foxdale, we've talked about it before we started recording. They're a good team. Foxdale should take the points in this one. They need to, really, if they want to keep in that top four, six mix, really, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, they've got points they didn't expect them to drop this season, Foxdale. They've had that squad, like Colby, they've had a squad for a few years. Jay, you know, he'll just score and score and score, you know. But D&D, they've got better each year, you know, their first team. And what I've spoken to people about, Aaron's a very, very good coach. He's very highly rated by a lot of people. And he's done brilliant with the combi. And I won't be as far as the likes of Quirk, who's scored a load of goals for their combi.
Yeah,
that's
what you say, yeah.
You know, and if you're a striker, no matter who you play against, if you're scoring goals, you're going to score goals. I think Foxdale, but I think it'll be tight. I mean, tight. I think one goal in it, but And that pitch is what we played into the week, wasn't it?
I thought it was alright to play on.
But no, it is a small pitch. There isn't a lot to play in, you know, you have to. Yeah. You know, but
there was a slope on the left hand side, wasn't it? Tight to the fence.
But I mean, that's when Corinthians and Royals used to play there. I think Foxdale, but I think it'll be a tight game. I think because D&D have got better each year. You know, they gave us a couple of games last year. And I think Foxdale are a very good team.
Sam?
Just the D&D game, the last game we played. Again, they started to started to work out what we were doing, and they are wanting to play football, which is great. They actually look like a good team. I haven't seen much of Foxdale. Like I say, this is only my first season back in Div 2. So, but again, I hear Foxdale are strong and they're up there and they're about. So, I'm going to go draw.
I think that's you're probably not far off the mark, both of you, because also with the thing we've got to add in with Foxdale as well is Billy Moat season, isn't it? So their home pitch, the infamous Billy Goat Park, they won't have had a game for a few weeks, will they? And this is where Dave points me wrong because I've missed last couple of weeks.
You do fitness with Foxy, keep it up.
Fitness with Foxdale with Foxy. but yeah, they're probably going to struggle to build up some momentum, and as the pressure's on keeping that top six, so they could do with the result in this one.
I'm with Foxy. I think D&D will push them hard. I don't think there'll be much in it, but I reckon the visitors will win this.
Final game in Division 2 on Saturday, of course, we keep mentioning it's Europe's best league just because of how competitive it is. There's only a couple of points covering that top 6-7, I think, now. Blue versus Onken. Onken, a bit of a surprise package, gone under the radar a bit for me, Dave, to be honest.
Up
into second in the league, 6 wins from 8. Is that a goal difference? You missed the number off it. Was that goal difference right? No, one goal.
They're conceding a lot of goals, but I think they've just gone under the radar, haven't they? Shout out to Malou. Obviously, they've had a bit of a tough season, but they got the win last week, 6-5 against Governors.
4-1 down win.
Bit of a thriller. Obviously, Hattie was there, given the whole multimedia
experience in the Gael.
So you know, well done to Malou for that. But I think it'll be too tough for them this weekend. I think Onken will continue their good run of form.
You said about Colby and Foxdale. Onken have been together as a unit for a couple of years now, and they add a player here or there, don't they?
But yeah, they do. Yeah, but not you know, but not Moody, and he's got a lot of experience. He might have slowed down a bit, but he knows how to play. He'll occupy two defenders. He knows how to, he's a good signing for them. They've got some good young players as well, some very good young players. I mean, we managed to get one of them, Jack Gatt, in, he's just 17 and he's good. But they've got some good young players. Malou's always a hard match. It doesn't matter, they're always strong and aggressive. It doesn't matter whether how high of the league are. But I think Onken win for me. I think their quality will shine through.
Sam?
Yeah, just from league table, just as we said earlier, they've just appeared out of nowhere, haven't they? And like you say, I mean, it doesn't matter whether you win a game 5-1 or 1-0, it doesn't really matter, and they've been pinching results, so I'm going to say, they're definitely easily going to pinch another one.
So, Onken to win, you heard it here first. Big games in the Premier League this week, obviously the other league amongst football. The lesser brother of JCK Division 2. Massive game involving your real club, Sam, which headlines this week's action in the top place, Dave. St Mary's versus St George's. Yeah. My mouth's salivating thinking about it.
That's just also because of
the cookies, yeah. 2:30 kickoff for this one at the Bowl. I think I said in my preview in the Independent, probably going to be a draw. What do you think?
I reckon you might be right with this one. I've been impressed with both teams this season, but last game I covered was Geordie's away at Peel. Obviously Peel won that one 5-3. Very impressively. Geordie's will be looking to bounce back. St Mary's, obviously as defending champions, they've just got a bit between the teeth. They're still doing it, even though they're missing some players. Josh Kelly has been out pretty much all season. I don't think he'll be back until Christmas at this rate. Dan Hattersley, his fitness hasn't been completely right, and I know Jack and Frank have been carrying injuries, so it much depends on those guys, really. I think it's going to be close. I'm going to go for a draw.
Draw. Dave Norton Memorial Wall is getting very crowded, isn't it?
That's it.
Foxy?
Geordie's done very well this season. Mary's, I've seen him once, but I know Al's done a great job down there. He's brought some great players in, getting Jack in. Frank in last season was great. It's going to be tight, but I've got a feeling Geordie's might get this by a goal.
Right.
It could go either way. Flip of a coin, isn't it?
Yeah.
There'll be other things out of the coin. But Geordie's I'm going to go for.
Sam?
I'm definitely not on the wall, you know what I'm definitely.
St. Mary's.
Like I say, the kids at Geordie's have had another season at senior football and they're just getting stronger and they're going to continue to get stronger and stronger. And I've seen some of those kids do some brilliant things with the football. I can just see them growing. I'm definitely saying St. George's to win.
I know it's not quite the entertainment levels of JCK Division 2, but the Premier League title race and the race for the Railway Cup is hotting up this year, isn't it? There's six teams realistically and with a shout at top four at this stage. I know Douglas Athletic may take anguish with me with that, but it's getting more exciting. It's nice to see, you know, obviously when you were playing for St. George's, it was almost home and hosed by December, weren't you? Yeah. But now, although we're maybe a bit behind where we should be, it's all still to play for, isn't it? And every team has lost, which is almost unheard of in the Manx Premier League at this point.
Definitely. Yeah, I remember, like you say, there were seasons where we went past and I think there was one season where everything was just autopilot. Just turn up and it just happened. Now that there's the competition, it's great. I've spoken to Liam down at Rushen and he's just saying like they're playing well, and like you say, St Mary's have, you know, after winning the league last year, they're still pushing on. The kids at Geordie's are pushing on. Peel are still doing it.
Corinthians, great result for them.
Corinthians, yeah.
Laxey is what come from nowhere.
Come out of nowhere here. So I'm impressed with everybody really. I think the standard of coaching on the other man's come up. I think that's why the results are all starting to, you know, even themselves up a little bit. I think everyone's, you know, doing their best to learn the game, and like I say, they do want to push each other. Everyone knows what it takes to be the fittest as well. You know, like I say, there were years at St. George's where it was, you know, you were fit as well, so you know you'd win the game in the last 10 minutes. So I think, like I say, everybody's, you know, working hard to do better.
Dave, so you're going for a draw?
I'm going for a draw. Yeah.
You're going to be there at this game, aren't you?
So, well, so it was this the game last year where it ended 1-1, but Jack had a free kick this
year. It was the only game of the season, I think.
Yeah, so obviously there was a bit of tension in that game, wasn't there? So it'd be interesting to see.
There'll be a couple of yellow cards this week. It's all keenly contested, isn't it? So maybe even a sin binning, just to keep it nice.
Yeah,
in
throw
there.
It in there.
No,
yeah.
Sin bin. Yeah. Who from?
Can't name names. No. One of the managers.
Follow at Manx Footy Podcast for updates from that game, Dave, where you'll be freezing your chats off at the bowl on Saturday afternoon, won't you?
Yep, certainly will. Can't wait.
Big game out west sees Peel take on Corinthians. Another close game, this looks like. Peel obviously buzzing, I think will be the word, after beating St George's in what you said was Firesdale the other week.
Yeah, I was really impressed with them. I mean, the week before I'd seen Peel get humbled by St Mary's, so it was a hell of a turnaround by them. Obviously Lee Gale took the plaudits with a hat-trick, but it was just a really good team performance across the board. Having the likes of Don McGreevy back first game of the season for them makes a huge difference to them. So, yeah, but likewise, Corinthians, great result for them last week. Difficult to call this one. I might have to sit on the fence again. I reckon. I don't think Corinthians will win. I think Peel might sneak it if it's not a draw.
Home advantage play part in this one, Foxy. Obviously, you've got the shed end. We'll be giving it all.
The Peel Mafia.
Yeah.
I mean, Mary's, Geordie's, Peel, Corinthians, Russian, they're all dropping points you wouldn't expect, and then they're beating each other. And. It is a hard one to call. Not one for sitting on the fence, so I think Peel will sneak it.
Sam?
Yeah, I'm with Peel. I just think Corinthians are lacking a little something this year. I definitely think, like I say, the result against St George's for Peel, I think, like I say, they might just be picking up ahead of steam now, so I'm with Peel on this one.
Obviously, Dan Simpson facing his old club, which always adds a little bit of extra spice, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I know you love a stat, Sam, so I'm going to give you this one. Corinthians, they've played two away games. The only team in the Premier League, I think, or maybe one or two, that have an unbeaten away record. They've won both their away games and have scored 20 goals in the process. So they don't mind travelling away from Bella Fletcher. So this one, I don't know, I would have probably gone with you guys and said Peel maybe edge this one, but I think I've got a feeling Corinthians might just... And then Peel will be back to square one. The most frustrating of seasons for them.
Yeah, I think I was at this fixture last season, and it ended up 3-3-all, I think. It was a really good game to watch, so it wouldn't surprise me if it happened again.
Elsewhere, there's a big game at the bottom. Douglas Royal take on Douglas High School Old Boys. Both teams have a win apiece this season. Douglas Royal getting off the mark the other week against Douglas Athletic. A great result for them, for Fritzy's young team. the scramble for the to avoid the ejector seat is almost as compelling as the one to get into the top four at the moment in the Premier League. So both teams will be after points for this one. Old boys favourites, Dave, if we look at the league table standings?
Yeah, I'd have them as favourites. But obviously, Royal have made, well, both sides have made a couple of decent young signings earlier on in the season. I think, obviously, you've had is it Tom Chattel and Johnny Quirk and that have moved. I think there's a lot of talent in both squads. They're just not quite settled yet. Royal, they'll make it tough, but I think Old Boys will get the point.
Foxy?
I don't know, Fitty's done really well. He's got some good young lads there. I mean, he put a bit of experience in, but I spoke to Buckley a couple of times. I've seen Dan Bowl, and he's really, he is working hard. You know, he's been working hard. He wants success for them. I think it could be a draw, to be honest. I'll go Old Boys win. I'm going to go Old Boys win.
Old Boys win.
Sam,
I'm going to be the guy on the fence though. I'm calling a draw.
I'm going to go with Fitzy's youngsters. I reckon they'll just have the bit between the teeth at the moment and get a result here, which will be massive in their hopes to stay in the Premier League again next season. The other game sees surprise package. We already talked about them. Laxey will host Douglas Athletic at Glen Road. Glen Road. Laxey obviously need the points to stay in this Railway Cup race they found themselves in. Should be straightforward home win, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I haven't seen the team news for them, but I think they're all on a high at the moment, aren't they? We've had the Laxey boys in already this season on the podcast. They're talking about that momentum, the confidence. I know they didn't play last week, but they've got the feel good factor back, so I think they'll be too strong.
But Foxy,
I think Laxey last year, I think that battle at the end did them a world of good, confidence wise. I suppose kids, you know, they've learned the dirty end of it, the hard. Learned a massive, massive learning. And that it's a hard scrap. When you're scrapping, you know, you need players to stand up. And at the end of the season, they stood up and they kept them up. I think that will improve them. I think Douglas Athletic, they're doing all right, but I think Laxey will actually win. I think they'll be the surprise package this year, Laxey. Not a surprise package, I don't be disrespectful to the players, because they have got good players, good young players, but that experience that season will propel them a bit, and they'll be more than top half of the league.
Sam, if Laxey win this weekend, another stat for you, none of them, they will actually surpass their total entire points total for last season. They've got 15 last season, they're already on 13.
Yeah, I think they're doing well this season. I think they've started the season well. I think Quirk is a big miss for Douglas Athletic. Having that stopper at the back.
To be fair, Adam Kinvig's played well every time I watched him.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of plaudits for him, yeah. Definitely, he's a good kid.
They're also missing Will Penhallow, who's gone off to Fox Hill. He was a big player for them last year. So
Home win. Right, final game in the Premier League this weekend sees Rush United host Paul Rose at Croyt Lowry. Paul Rose bottom, pointless at the moment. Dave, it's not looking good, is it?
Certainly not. And I can't see them getting anything out of this weekend's game either, to be honest. Russian are in good form despite that defeat last week. I think they'll be too strong.
Russian unbeaten at Croyt Lowry in the league, I should stress, because I think they lost to Corinthians in the cup in over a year now, a calendar year. So
fantastic.
It is a formidable place to go, as St Mary's found out the other week.
Yeah, I was very impressed with that. I was at that game, and yes, St Mary's had no answer for them. And Pulley, you know, they keep plugging away. The results will come. You know, they've shown some heart. They have some good battles in that team. But I think Russia will be too good for them.
Foxy, home win.
Home win. But no, you've got to give Pulley credit putting out a first team.
Yeah,
rather
absolutely.
Than a combi, you know, and that's not just no teams can do what they want. But no, they could have went play combi, but no, but they've gone out and went play first team. So you got.
We give
them credit for that. Respect them for that. Russian are decent. They're a very good team. Russian, maybe a bit inconsistent, but I can't see passing Russian win.
Sam,
yeah, I'm the same. Like I say, I've spoken to Liam a couple of times and caught him out and about, and he's happy. Like I say, even though he's lost the likes of Josh and Dan and a couple of others. I don't know. Jack Saxton has not played an awful lot. I think he's played in Nets. I think
playing Nets
with
Gombe,
yeah. It's Gordon. Like you say, they're doing well. So yeah, I can't see past a home win.
Home win all round.
Be interesting to see if Ryan Crawley plays this week after his.
See that last week. Yeah, his two front teeth knocked back,
knocked into his gums. Yeah, so he had to go up to A&E.
And they reset it, didn't they?
Yeah, there's a few nice pictures.
And he kindly shared the pictures on Facebook, so thanks for that, Ryan.
But he's been good for them this season, Ryan. Yeah. So he'll be a miss if he's not playing.
It was interesting, you both put it, said that, you know, Dan and Josh has actually maybe helped them in a way. They're like leaving because they've come together as a team and sort of filled the gap, haven't they? Jamie Johnston's played really well.
Over Miller. You guys know him.
Yeah. But, you know, I think sometimes you can become reliant on players, and, you know, I've seen it where players, inexperienced players, sometimes the players that good, you want to give them the ball all the time, and then they get pulled right out of it, and everyone else just lifts up, and they can express themselves a bit, and it could be that, because it just works. It just sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, does it? But no rushing.
It does seem to be working at the moment, so yeah. keep plugging away, Liam. Right, Comby Corner, Dave.
You missed this, haven't you?
I have. Obviously, it was reduced. I didn't mean to sound so disparaging of it. I have genuinely missed Comby Corner.
Well, I didn't. reduced fixture list last week, obviously, because of the weather. With the top two not in action in Comby 1, Peel closed the gap on St Mary's and Corinthians with a 7-2 victory over Douglas Athletic. Danny Lane got a hat-trick. He was joined on the score sheet by Dan Corkle, Aaron Costain, Joel Callow and Mark Kelly. So it's not a bad little Comby team there, really, is it?
Peel Comby does look pretty mustard, isn't it?
Yeah, Dafka's goals, they came from Darren Shields and Colin Dempsey, who himself is a first-team player. So it just shows you that that there was some good quality on show there. Elsewhere, Geordie's lost ground. They were beaten 4-2 at Laxey. Sam Greasley, Luke Strickett-Morland and Harry Walters scored for the Miners. Ben Wasser, who you obviously mentioned before, Sam, and Jordan Corkus, the net for the Saints.
I think it was just mentioned at this point, Joe Burrows broke his nose for Laxey in that game.
Oh, did he? What did he do?
Up for an aerial challenge, came off the wrong end of it, but actually went back on after they put but he said, and I think this is changing times, Foxy, you'll be with me on this one, no one wanted to put it back for him. You know,
back in the day.
Get it fixed, get back on. There wasn't a metatarsal to Beckham, did it? I know with Corky, I bet there was a little riot when Corky scored as well. that's a rare occurrence.
But yeah, so, but you said they'll actually play very well in that match.
Yeah, good win for them. It just puts them back in the mix there in the top five, top six. They've had a bit of an indifferent start to the season. But yeah, so good win for them. And elsewhere, Old Boys were comfortable 6-1 winners at Castletown. Aaron Larissy got a hat trick.
He's scoring a lot of goals this season.
Yeah, very good player. Joined on the score sheet by Ben Coates.
Former Miller.
Dom Dawson and Ryan Healy. Castletown's goal was an own goal. In Comby 2, Youth have made it a perfect 10 wins from 10 with a ruthless 6-0 victory over Foxdale. Obviously, Rory was at that game.
Yep.
There was the report in the Examiner. So definitely check that one out. The scorers were Dylan Parrish with a brace, Joe Neal, Sean Crawley and Matthew Corkle, and I've missed one out there. I don't know who the other one
I think
one.
Joe Neal scored twice, because you've actually written Joe Neal.
I know, I don't know why I've done that. Yeah,
so good they named him twice.
That's it. Not like JJ Kocher though. D&D, we mentioned before, obviously Aaron Delaney's done a good job there, and they're second after racking up their 8th win of the season with a 4-1 success at home to Jim's. Mark Quirk, obviously you mentioned him, it will be interesting to see whether he plays any first team football now. Him and Sam Tipper both scored twice, while Elliot Burnett scored for Jim's.
I was going to say, it's in the combination leagues, there's three teams with 100% records. You pointed this out Monday, didn't there? Obviously, St Mary's, Corinthians, and then Youthy have all won their fixtures so far.
Yeah, absolutely. So well done to them. They're the only, well, as you mentioned, there's no undefeated teams in the Premier League now.
Or indeed the best league in Europe, which is UK Division 2. Right, my other highlight of the week, Dave reads the weather. It's actually flipping sunny today.
It's blue skies out there, and it is actually looking fairly good weather wise over the next few days. Plenty of dry conditions. The only worry is the possibility of frost. Well, there is a bit of a risk of showers later on Saturday, but should actually miss most of the games.
Frost, Foxy, you might have to go and get the sew the shop right bags together and put it on the pitch.
Do it after you get a match on.
So you're predicting any postponements this weekend?
There might be a couple, but I think we should be all right. It just depends. You know, obviously, we've had a lot of rain recently. I don't know how the pitchers are holding up. We had a lot of postponements last week. So, yeah, just a question of how they're coping after that.
Right, before we go, we should mention Player of the Month, which was in the Indy this week instead of the Courier, as usual. Congratulations to Alex Maitland from Russian, centre-back. He won it this month, didn't he? And Owen Dawson, the Peel goalkeeper, won the Young Player Award. So
yeah, congratulations to both of them.
If you want to read about them and see where people are in the seasonal standings as the sprint for the Gordon Clegg Memorial Trophy, or Football Writers Trophy as it's known, begins to shape, doesn't it?
It's So well done to them, yeah.
Max is currently annoying me, Max Merlin.
Yeah, he's, I think he's about 3 points ahead of Jack McVay, who won it last year, and they both played the same amount of games, so it's an interesting battle shaping up there, but obviously there's a lot of other teams and players to catch up there. So.
There's a lot of football to be played between now and the end of the season.
Yeah,
there.
We're a third of the way through, so there's plenty to go.
Is it a third?
Not quite third, we're nearly there.
Lads, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for the invite.
I hope it hasn't been too painful. Good luck for Saturday. Good luck for the rest of the season.
Good luck.
Cheers.
Good luck getting over the mountain. Because as Dave said, it could be frosty.
I'm worried what happens over the mountain. You know, the whole Barton thing earlier.
Well, Harry, if Harry's playing Saturday, I'm sure he'll happily show you the.
Yeah, he can warm up the changing rooms. Yeah.
methane weather all, as they know in those parts. As I say, good luck. If you want to tweet us throughout the week, we're at Manx40Podcast. We're also on Facebook and indeed Instagram. So we're down with the kids these days.
Yeah, and we obviously should mention next week, the next podcast will be the 100.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know what we're going to do yet.
We should probably have thought about this before now, really.
Yeah, well, we like to surprise people and ourselves.
Well, tune in next week to find out what half-baked idea we've got for the 100th. Until next week.
Ta-ta for now.